wow, just wow. You know, it's one thing when you see the video footage, with everything going on, all the people panicking, all the noise, all the movement, and of course the movement or lack of movement of the cameras. You know, it's one thing to analyze all the video footage, and it's another to put the day's event in absolute detail in an animated 3D render, simulating the bullet trajectory and everything else that happened. There's a 3D render that everybody's talking about. I want to take a look at it. Let's have a conversation. Of course, you know, we got a lot to talk about. We got some stuff to get into. So let's roll the tape. All right, folks, so let's first start off with the clip. Here's an animated grayscale 3D render showing us all the details about what happened on that day. Take a look.
This is a 3D illustration of how many bullets were fired and their trajectory that struck three people at the Trump rally on July 13th, 2024. This is the area we're going to focus in on. Here you can see the three victims that were injured by gunfire and where they were standing in the bleachers. We're going to turn around and demonstrate exactly where these bullets came from. This model represents Thomas Crooks. His position could be seen here in this image, which illustrates exactly where he was. Turning around, we can see the path of all the bullets that were fired from this location. I placed a 10-foot red disc downrange to represent what an average shooter could hit easily. Now let's take a look at this first shot fired. Coming from our key location, bullet one grazes President Trump's ear. This is the same bullet that hits a spectator in the stands. We know this through video evidence. As President Trump is talking, the first shot rings out just after he says, "Take a look at what happened."
Something to say. Take a look at what happened.
We can see the vapor trail of a bullet strike, which is the same bullet that struck President Trump's ear a split second earlier, and this video is this location here. Back at the podium, President Trump is shot and grabs his ear, falling to the ground as more shots rang out. In total, there were 7 or 8 shots, so let's rewind and watch this at regular speed.
Take a look at what happened.
With all that gunfire, it's easy to understand how these spectators were injured, even though they were not the target, including the sole spectator who lost his life that day. As we circle around, we can see how all the paths of the bullets were hitting in the location of this forklift machine, causing one of the hydraulic hoses to burst.
Holy frickin' moly. You know, I'm not usually one to say this kind of thing, but in this case, I'm sure we're all thinking the exact same thing. It feels like divine intervention. How close was that? The shooter had a direct line of sight on the president, and by pure miracle, seemingly by God's hand, Donald Trump just happened to look at the big screen at the Jumbotron the moment that trigger was first pulled. What are the chances? Now, there's a couple other viral videos as well, again, really depicting visually how close this was. I want to show you guys those as well.
Take a look what happened. Oh.
You know, just astonishing, truly miraculous. You know, like I've mentioned previously, 1 inch closer, just an inch towards the right, a slight little, probably from that distance, millimeter adjustment to the right, and the course of American history would have been forever altered. But of course, not only did this clip show us just how close it was, it also, again, visually shows us how ridiculous this whole ordeal was. You know, the fact that we have a digital reenactment here, just casually going through the motions, oh, well, you know, there was just a shooter perched up on the roof there, right across the field. The fact that that's even a thing, again, totally mind-boggling. And it's this shot right over here that's the most shocking. I mean, just look how obvious it was. You have a slightly sloped roof and a head popping over with a scope, and the response from Secret Service, not a care in the world. Brings us right back to the same question. You know, I'd love to give all this intricate, eloquent analysis of the events, but really it all boils down to one word. How? How was this allowed to happen? It's literally the most obvious, high-priority threat location. And that on its own, in isolation, isn't even the worst part. Because it's one thing if it's a high-priority risk location, where the perpetrator made some maneuvers and got there really quick and just, you know, happened to go on a stealth mission, evading all law enforcement personnel in the process. You know, it's one thing if that was the case, but as we keep learning, that's not how it happened at all. They spotted this character acting suspiciously, not just once, not just twice, but on four separate occasions before the first shot rang off. They saw him four times being in places where he shouldn't have been, doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, and not a single thing was done. You know, the whole point of this video is to get a very clear, sober accounting of the events while we're starting to get a more detailed report.
This morning, new insight into the final moments of a 20-year-old would-be assassin, as we are seeing new pictures of Thomas Matthew Crooks right before Saturday's shooting. Local police taking these pictures when they first noticed the shooter, and these pictures of the items found on the roof, including a black cell phone and a gray wireless transmitter authorities say he intended to use to remotely detonate explosives in his car. A source with knowledge of the investigation telling ABC News about the searches found on the gunman's phone, the date of Trump's rally, major depressive disorder, the Democratic National Convention, and bomb making. Images of FBI Director Christopher Wray, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and other public figures found on the phone as well. And investigators are looking into whether the shooter used a drone to surveil the rally site sometime before the shooting. We are also learning it's possible the attack could have been thwarted as late as 6 minutes before the first shot was fired. At 5:41 Saturday evening, a sniper with the local SWAT team put out a description of a suspect lurking around the ARG building. 24 minutes later, a radio call. That suspect spotted at picnic tables carrying a backpack. 1 minute later, the sniper who first noticed him left his position and went to meet a patrol officer. Two police vehicles moved in position, but at 6:12, those shots rang out.
All right, so Phil Lipoff right here with more on that. And Phil, what stands out to you the most about what we're learning here?
Well, Gio, I think it's twofold. First, the shooter's preparation. As this investigation proceeds, we are realizing this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. He had that detonator we just saw in those new pictures that connected to explosives in his car. Investigators looking into the fact that he may have flown a drone over this site in the days prior just to get a lay of the land. And then the second part of this is the timeline. As they're putting together this comprehensive timeline, we're realizing he was there. They knew he was there an hour and 2 minutes before the shooting, and then just 6 minutes before a sniper left his position to go and find a local officer to find him, and then the shots were fired.
It's just incredible to think about that and see all of the new timelines that we're seeing here. What's the latest and what's the next part of this investigation?
Well, obviously, motive is a big deal. Everybody's still trying to figure out. Some of these shootings, you have a manifesto, you have a note left behind, whatever.
And this is now a week in, and we still don't know.
This is a week in, and they saw the searches on his phone. He searched for the DNC as well as former President Trump's rally. He searched for other politicians. So motive, but motive is almost secondary, if you think about it, to the fact that this was allowed to happen in the first place, that this information in this hour before didn't get back to Secret Service commanders there, or we don't know that for the fact, but Secret Service commanders didn't know about it on the scene, and they took the shot after he was able to take shots. So the head of the Secret Service is going to be on Capitol Hill Monday answering those questions.
And some big questions ahead. All right,
absolutely.
Phil Lipoff, thank you so much as always.
So let's go through that. At 5:05 p.m., Crooks was seen walking outside the window with a sniper team inside. One of the snipers inside saw him looking up to the roof and observing the building and then disappearing. At 5:41 p.m., he came back with a rangefinder, sat down, looked at his phone, and at that point, one of the snipers took a picture of him, took out his rangefinder, and the sniper radioed the command post. And then at 6:05 p.m., Crooks returned for a third time with a backpack. The snipers called in with the information that he had a backpack and said that he was walking towards the back of the building. Now, of course, some people might say maybe they didn't have enough time to react. He looped around the building, went to the roof, and shot right away. There wasn't any time to react, but the first shot was fired at 6:11 p.m. So from 6:05 to 6:11, they simply made a phone call. Hey, this guy's going around the building. I spotted him with a rangefinder 20 minutes prior. Now he's got a backpack. He's moving all kinds of gear and looking at the top of the building here. He's using a rangefinder on the counter snipers. He was suspicious enough, apparently, to call into the post command and to take a photo of him, but not to act. Not to secure the back of that building. Not to stop him, search him, interrogate him. Make it freaking make sense. It simply doesn't, and I keep asking the exact same question, how? Now, of course, we don't have those answers, so we really don't have much to conclude here, but I will conclude the video by saying, once again, thank the Lord that President Trump is okay and ready to fight another day. It was so close to letting a seriously sinister evil force seize the day. Anyways, that's pretty much the video. That's what I got for you guys. Just thought that you guys would want to see these two clips. Thanks for watching, friends, and I'll see you on the next one.